This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
People, often I'm quite sure about what I'm going to speak about, although that's not actually very often for those of you who know me up until the last minute. And this week in particular, I had a few different topics that I was contemplating on, but I felt the Lord say really strongly this morning that He wants to remind us and speak to us this morning about hope. He wants us to get our hopes up. Now, I know that there might be not a lot of hope after the, or some of you might be hopeful. I don't want to assume anything. I, for one, was not that impressed with the result of yesterday. But the Lord quickly reminded me that He's in control. And when we think about government, it's on His shoulders. And our government, any government is imperfect, but He is perfect government. And we are citizens of His kingdom, and we're to bring His kingdom from heaven to earth. That's our role, to represent Him on the earth and to live His way. So He wants to remind us this morning, church, it's okay, get your hopes up. Romans 15:13 says this. And actually, if you have a look at the book of Romans, it stood out to me this week just how full of hope that book is. It's actually a book all about hope. So, I mean, the whole Bible is, but Romans in particular speaks a lot about hope. Romans 15:13 says this. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to spend some time today looking at this verse at the end of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And this verse is actually a prayer that Paul prays for the church, and it's a prayer that's relevant for us as a church today. It starts with this: I pray that God, the source of hope. First of all, let's talk about what hope is. Strong's Concordance says that hope is to anticipate, usually with pleasure or expectation. The Webster's English Dictionary says this: hope not in the sense of an optimistic outlook or wishful thinking. I'm not talking about wishful thinking today. Oh, I hope it won't rain today. Or I hope I get a good seat. Or I hope there's no traffic, you know. We're not talking about wishful thinking without any foundation, but in the sense of confident expectation based on solid certainty. Biblical hope rests on God's promises, and I've been hearing it all morning this morning in the songs that we've been singing, in some of the prayers that have been prayed in communion. Jill just said it at the end of communion. Biblical hope rests on God's promises, particularly those pertaining to Christ's return. So certain is the future of the redeemed that the New Testament sometimes speaks of future events in the past tense as though they were already accomplished. That's amazing. When you're reading your Bible, sometimes the writers are speaking about future events as if they've already happened. That's incredible. Hope is never inferior to faith, but it's an extension of faith. Faith is the present possession of grace. Hope is confidence in grace's future accomplishment. In this season, in this time that we're living in, it would be really easy to lose hope. I made the mistake, I was saying to Deborah this morning, I made the mistake of turning the news on this morning while I was having my cup of coffee. And it would be really easy to lose hope or to let it slip away. And you probably know people in your life, and it might be you at times, where you've lost hope and you've become hopeless. The events of the world are getting louder and they're getting demanding. I don't know about you, but it's like the volume's been turned up. The volume's been turned up on the world, and it's getting demanding, and it's pushing its agenda and its thoughts on us and the way that it wants us to go. And the world is trying to mold us and shape us. And I think in Victoria, in particular, we need to be aware of that. of the shaping and not being conformed to this world. On the other side of that, I would also say it's not a mistake that you or I are here, or that we live in Mombok or the surrounding areas, wherever you may be in these, in the hills, in Victoria. It's no mistake that we live here. I could pack up and go and live in Cairns with my family. That's what they did, to be honest. Lost hope in what was going on in Victoria. I'm out here. But that's not for us, God, the church. That's not what God has. He needs strategic people planted in this state. And that's us. So in this season that we're in, it would be easy to lose hope. The events of the world are getting louder and more demanding every day. Fear is trying its best to overtake the world. And not only that, fear is trying to overtake God's people. We hear about people losing hope, having no hope, being hopeless, unhappy, lonely, useless, futile, worthless, desperate, valueless, invalid, gloomy, or lost. All those words are the opposite to hope. And this is not what God wants for his people. Hope. We are to be a community of hope. There are people all around about us searching for just a little bit of hope. You can see it in the things they cling to. They try to find it in relationships, in jobs, in holidays. Holidays is a big thing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going on holidays, Trish and Andre, who have just come back from holidays. Holidays, we need holidays. But when that becomes our hope, that everything we work for and everything we aim for is so that we get to do that, or our relationships or money, and we can see it when those things fail, because they will, that's another guarantee. Those things will fail and people lose hope. Unless we go to the source, we will be disappointed. We will be let down, left wanting. So God is the source of this hope that we're talking about. I want to look at an example of hope, and it's in Romans again, and it's not just a few pages back. So Romans 4. And if you've been in church for a while, you will know this. If you haven't, this is an account in the New Testament of an Old Testament example for us, because the Old Testament was written for an example for us to follow, to be able to look back on. And this is an account of Abraham, who, you know, you may have heard a little bit about the story. When Abraham was old, God came to him and he had no children and his wife was barren and he was old, and God came and promised him that he would be the father of many nations. And so this is an account of that. So I'm going to, in Romans 4, I'm not going to read the whole of that chapter, but that's where you could find out some more of that story. I'm going to start at verse 13. And it says, clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on his, Abraham's, obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. That's a good reminder for us today, church. If we could do anything, if we can do it on our own, then we don't need faith. We don't need the promise. But it's not dependent on that. It's dependent on our relationship. Verse 15, for the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. I like that kind of logic. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. This is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Verse 18, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. And I want someone to hear that today. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, God had spoken this word to him, That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Are you fully convinced today, church? Are you fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises? And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded. It was recorded for our benefit. This is talking about you today. Ooh, it was recorded for your benefit, for my benefit today. Assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him. That was why he could hope that way. Not because the world had said anything to him. Not because a horoscope. He didn't read his horoscope that morning. God spoke it to him. And so he could take God at his word. Let's do that, church. I want to be a person who takes God at his word. He doesn't lie. Abraham didn't deny the facts. I'm not talking about denying the fact of your life. Abraham didn't deny the facts. He knew that he was 100 years old, and he said, and besides that, Sarah's womb is probably dead. Well, not probably, it is. It's dead. He didn't deny the facts. He wasn't going about, sometimes we get that false, oh, I'm just going to deny what's going on. No, God never taught us to do that. He told us not to focus on that. He said, in spite of that, and actually because of that, I want you to believe in me. He figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. And it struck me, and it was only this morning as I reread this, that that was a double whammy. Not only was he an old man, and his body couldn't do it, neither could his wife. There needed to be a double miracle for there to be a son or a child. A double miracle, a double whammy. God loves it when it's really hard. And in fact, sometimes he goes out of his way and lets that happen just so that he can act stronger on our behalf. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about in 1 Kings 18:33 to 35. And if you're not aware of that story, that's when the prophet Elijah was with the false prophets of Baal. There'd been a drought. There had been a drought. Not that we know what that's like at the moment. There's no drought. There's lots of rain here. But there had been a drought. It had not rained for 3 years. And so then there was this showdown where, okay, we'll see who the real God is, whether it's Baal or God. And so the false prophets did their thing, and, you know, they called out and they did everything they could do. They cut themselves, they hurt themselves, they cried out, they shouted loud, and nothing happened. And then it comes to Elijah's turn. And he resets the altar, puts the wood on the altar, cuts up the offering. So not only did he, because then he also asked them to pour water on all of that. So he didn't just pour water on the wood, he poured water on the offering as well. So everything was saturated. So there couldn't be any, you know, no one could say, because, you know, we as humans are a bit skeptical sometimes. And if he'd have just put the wood on, they would have said, oh, yeah, but the offering was dry. So that is what caught it fire. No, let's just get this. He wet the wood, he wet the offering, and he got them to pour so much water on it that it filled the trench that was running around the outside of the offering. Elijah prayed, fire of God came and consumed the whole lot. God loves it when it's hard. So if you've got something hard in your life at the moment, have you ever felt where everything's coming against you? If one thing happens and then it's another and then it's another, and you just feel like it's one thing after the other, well, I'm here today to tell you God loves those situations. I'm not saying he creates those situations, but sometimes he can allow those things to happen in our life because he wants to prove himself to you beyond doubt. And not only to you, to everyone around. That proved not... Elijah knew that God could do that. Elijah didn't need God to prove himself to him. It was for those who were watching. It was for those around. Our God is the God of hope. So Abraham didn't deny the facts. A double miracle was required, and that's what happened. Abraham's hope came from God's word. So how, church, are you going to build up your hopes? How are you going to get your hopes up? You're going to get into the word, and you're going to hear what God says. I love teaching. I love YouTube. I love good teachers. I love hearing people preach. But there is nothing like hearing a word of God straight from God for you. And you will get that through good preaching and teaching and through the word. The Holy Spirit will quicken it to you. The prophetic word to your life. I've had prophecies spoken over me that there is nothing you could do to convince me that they weren't true. Nothing you could do. Because God spoke it directly to my heart. And he was the only one who knew that about me. So when we hear directly from God and he's written it all down for you, every promise. I've said this before. I love that God does that because he knows that we're forgetful people. So we've got no excuse. You've got no excuse. It's written down. Everything in here, his promises for us to get our hopes up. I want to remind you today that our God is the God of hope. He's not the God of wishful thinking. He's not the God of maybe. He's not the God of an optimistic outlook even. But he's the God of hope, confidence in his word, in his promises, an expectation, a faith in him. There's a scripture verse, and I can't remember off the top of my head where it says, I think it's in Jeremiah, the one in Jeremiah where he says that I have a hope for you and a plan for you of an expectant end. God has an expectant end for you. And you can have confidence in that. God is our source, nothing or no one else, and God will never God will never fall short. We might. The writer of Hebrews says this to us, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. It's in Hebrews 6. Verses 11 to 12, it says, "And we desire for each one of you to show the same diligence all the way through so as to realize and enjoy the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be spiritually sluggish, but will instead be imitators of those who through faith lean on God with absolute trust and confidence in him and in his power, and by patient endurance, even when suffering, are now inheriting the promises." That should encourage us today, church. That encourages me. I think I wanted to read it out of the Amplified Bible because of that word sluggish. We can become sluggish. It's easy to do that. When the things of the world come in, the busyness, and we're about to enter, and some of you have already entered in. I know there's some Christmas decorations have already been happening. There's Christmas season coming up where the world gets, so busy, if that's possible, to get even busier. But let's remember what our hope is in and not become sluggish. Church, now is the time to display the hope that we have to the world around us. It's a prime canvas for us. What's going on in the world today, in our government, in people's lives, in the economy? If you're putting your trust in the economy, Bitcoin, and we can look at all of those things and we can think, whoa, this is bad. This is really bad. And it is bad. And we can get sluggish and think, well, what am I going to do about that? What are we at Mombok Christian Fellowship going to do about that? Grow a garden. Elaine's going to grow a garden. It's a perfect canvas for us. to ask God to break out. Just like it was with Abraham when he was 100 and Sarah's womb was dead. Just like it was with Elijah when he poured the water over the sacrifice. This is a perfect canvas for the church to rise up and show what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Show what love, peace, and joy look like. This hope that we have is an anchor for our soul. I love the song that Grace chose for her baptism last week. It's called Promises, and the bridge of that goes, I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. Jesus has gone through the veil into heaven, and that's where our anchor is. Our anchor isn't down, so that's where the analogy, that's where the metaphor falls short. Our anchor is up, and we are anchored to Jesus. Hebrews 6:19. Actually, I want to go, maybe we'll go there. Hebrews, if you've got your Bibles. Hebrews 6. And I might start at verse 13. And this is about Abraham again. Hebrews 6:13. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, the oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. God bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we, because of that, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Who knows that we need a strong and trustworthy anchor right now? I'm so glad that I've got an anchor for my soul, because my soul is not trustworthy, and neither is yours. Your spirit man was born again and is being made new, but our souls are being saved and are being perfected. And my emotions are not trustworthy, and neither are yours. And so I need an anchor that's going to remind me what's true. And the truth is, I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm a citizen of heaven, not a citizen of this world. That's my anchor. Our mind wants to wander. Our emotions want to wander. I want, I feel, I need, I thought. As soon as I say the words to myself, I thought this, I know I'm wrong. I just usually think what I think, and then the opposite is what God thinks. We need to be anchored to a sure foundation. You know, God's so good. I was thinking about a boat or a ship, and you know when the anchor goes down, you can't see the anchor when it's working. When you think about that, church, you don't see the anchor when it's working the most. And that's where faith comes in. I'm not going to believe it unless I can see it, God. I'm not going to believe it, Jesus, unless you give me a sign. Show me. And sometimes he's gracious and he does that for us to help build our faith. But our faith, our anchor, is when it's working at its best, you can't see it. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Isaiah 28:19 in the Amplified says this, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give way or hasten away in sudden panic." Do you get the idea of that? This is a trustworthy anchor that we have. And we will not be ashamed or give way in sudden panic. Sudden panic is not a thing that should come on God's people. Our anchor is not in money, it's not in relationships, it's not in a job, it's not in a business or a possession or an achievement. All of these things will be shaken and all of these things will fail. But, church, our anchor, our hope is fixed on the rock, Jesus, unmovable, unshakable, unchangeable, everlasting, faithful, true, precious, and perfect. And going back to our original verse, back that what we started with this morning in Romans 15:13, there's a promise that we will be filled completely. Now that word fill, I just want to have a look. That is literally, I love this definition, and I may have shared it here before because I kind of think I have, but the Greek word for it means literally to cram. God's going to cram into you peace and joy. He's going to cram. I love that. He is so generous. I get that picture of he's like, you thought you had enough peace and joy. Here's a bit more. I'm just going to cram that in. I'm going to cram it into you. I'm giving you more. I don't know if you've ever experienced the goodness of God. I have, to a point where you just about say, I don't know if I can take any more. You're so good. And then he goes, here's a bit more. He's going to cram it in. To render full, to be complete, to fill to the top, so that nothing shall be wanting, to full measure, full to the brim. That's what God promises to us. God is extravagant in his giving. He doesn't just give us a little pinch of hope. He doesn't just tease us with a little bit of hope. He gives generously. He gives generously joy and peace. We know about joy. We've had good teaching in this church over the years about joy. Adam Clark says, God will fill you with all joy, give you true spiritual happiness, peace in your own heart, and unity among yourselves in believing not only in promises which he has given you, but believing in Christ Jesus, in whom all the promises are, yes and amen. Paul prays in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God would be manifest in our lives. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've been promised by God, that he's going to fill us to the brim with. If our hope is in him, if our anchor is in him, if our eyes are on him, he says, I'm going to cram you full of joy and peace because you trust in me. Trust, believing in. The word here is used, that word used in that scripture is actually the same word as faith, trust and faith. It's not just believing that something is true. It goes further than that. It's believing and allowing that faith or that trust to change our actions. I know that you believe something is true by the way you behave around that. Craig might say to me, Karen, I believe that you would genuinely look after every bit of money I have in the world. I'm only going to believe that if he gives it all to me. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You can say it, but until you act on it, That's a different story. And that's the kind of faith that God wants. We can say, God, I believe, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I'll know it's true, and so will God when he sees you acting on that belief. Church, because we believe, we have faith, we trust in God, and it produces joy and peace in our lives. And the last bit of that verse says, then you will overflow with confident hope. So now you've been crammed full, now you're going to overflow. When God is our source, we will be filled with hope and joy and peace, and it will overflow. It'll just pour out of us. It'll superabound. It'll be in excess. It'll be superfluous. Thank you, Bev. It'll abound. In other words, you'll have a lot. I should try not to be clever. I should just say, you're going to have so much. You're going to have heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps. And then you know what's going to happen? God's going to cram some more in. He's going to cram it in, and it's going to pour out of you. And who knows, the world needs that. My family need that. I need that. Our God is generous beyond measure. He fills us completely and then gives us even more so that it overflows out of us and spills onto those around about us. In other words, we will manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth. Because the kingdom of heaven is peace, righteousness, peace, and joy. If you have had anything to do with social media at all, you will have heard the word or the term influencer. An influencer is someone who demonstrates a product to those watching, and in doing that, others see the benefits of that product and they choose to use it as well. Right? Have you seen influencers on, you know, and they get on there and they, this is my face routine, or this is my bedtime routine, or this is the soap powder I use, and you go, that's amazing, I'll go and use that soap powder too. That's what an influencer does. And you might think you're really clever. You are all influenced. We're all influencers. We're called to be influencers, church. We're called to be influencers. We're called to demonstrate what the kingdom of God looks like. And so that people look at that and see, hey, I like that. I want some of that. I'm going to do that. I'm going there. I want that. This hope, joy, and peace start with God, and God sustains it in our lives. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we remain filled to overflowing. It's not about our works. It's about the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today, church. I want to encourage all of us. God is the source of hope. He is generous and he's abundant in his giving. And let's go and let's demonstrate the kingdom of God. Will you let me pray? And then we're going to listen to that song, Promises. And if you have found yourself getting sluggish or losing hope and you need prayer, please come. As we play that song, and I'll pray, and others will pray with you. But let me pray first. Father God, I thank you for your generosity. I thank you that you are so generous. And you don't require us to go through any ritual or to do a great big long list of spiritual deeds. What you require of us is a broken and contrite heart that will repent and come to you. What you require of us is an attitude of reliance on you, our source of hope. And I pray, Lord, that we here at Mombok Christian Fellowship will be a community full of hope, that this part of your body would be a people that are so crammed full that it overflows and spills out to our whole community, Lord God. That love revolution that you've been speaking to us about, Father, let us manifest your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.